We appreciate your generosity. Each year for a week we host Fundrive, our annual fundraising campaign that boosts our budget and supports our operations. Thank you for your support.
The Patricia Hotel has occupied the corner of Dunleavy and Hastings of the Vancouver East Side for over 100 years. Its lifespan approaches that of Vancouver itself. The surrounding Strathcona neighborhood grew alongside the hotel and has supplied some of the city's richest history. A wealth of culture moved along those streets and through the corridors of the hotel. People's lives pulsed through the building's arteries and spilled out into the world. The building has weathered the Vancouver rains and the neighborhood's mounting social struggles. It continues to provide affordable lodging to travelers in one of the world's least affordable cities and supports local performers who would otherwise go unnoticed. The story of the hotel begins where the story of old Vancouver ends, because new Vancouver could only rise after old Vancouver burned. James Johnston is an East Vancouver House researcher and historian.
On June 13, 1886, there was a big wind that came up and a stump fire spread to some other debris, and the wind was going in the right direction, or the wrong direction, I guess, for the city of Vancouver. And in 40 minutes, the new city of Vancouver basically exploded. They said that Vancouver didn't actually burn down. It actually exploded and was consumed in 40 minutes.
Lonnie Restworm is an East Vancouver resident and local historian.
When the fire came, it pretty much cleared out all these rickety, you know, shacks that were thrown up. And so when they rebuilt, which the rebuilding started right away, and it was sort of gave them a clean slate to build what the developers assumed would be like this major West Coast metropolis.
Construction on what would become the Patricia Hotel began in 1910. Originally intended as a doctor's office, the founder of the building, Dr. Thomas Wilson, would not survive to see its completion. The property was acquired by Edward Mulhern, who converted the space into a hotel and opened for business in the summer of 1913. The city had become the modern metropolis predicted by the developers. The railway was bringing in new residents, and the historic Hastings Mill, located a few minutes' walk from the Patricia Hotel, was supplying work to loggers from all over the world.
There's an ad from a 1913 News Herald that talks about it being a new popular priced hotel, and that they advertised it as being two blocks from City Hall. Perhaps that was a draw. It was trying to say that it was really in the center of
the happening part of Vancouver.
A typical tenant would be a logger who works out in logging camps most of the year, and then he makes a bunch of money and he comes to Vancouver to spend the winter and blow this wad of cash in his pocket on booze and women and whatever else he's into. Yeah.
They were out to sow their wild oats, to have fun, to maybe have a little bit of a dust up with whoever, but it was to get rid of all the stress, the accumulated stress of living in very, very primitive, cold conditions out in the wild. And so it would have been a rather interesting mix of customers in the Patricia Hotel at that time.
By 1917, Hastings Street had become a swinging entertainment district. The Patricia Hotel opened a cabaret under the title Patricia Cafe, later renamed Pat's Pub. Ada Bricktop Smith, the nightclub queen of Europe, was singing, dancing, and dodging loggers at the hotel before her move to Paris. In her memoirs, Bricktop by Bricktop, she recounts a particularly rowdy New Year's Eve at the cafe.
No one knows what the fight was all about. Everybody was beating up on everybody else. Bowman's was a large place. I remember all the fists flying and glass breaking, but that's all I remember. It was one of those special occasions when I lost count of how many drinks I've had. Next thing I knew, I was in the bed in a white room. My right leg was in a splint and my head felt as if it was about to come off. I was in a hospital and my leg was broken. A gal I knew called Dago was standing by the side of the bed. I couldn't believe it when she told me that I kept trying to get into the brawl the night before. You kept running in the middle of all those punches and someone kept pushing you back out, but that didn't stop you. You got right back in the middle of it again and you got pushed out again, but this time you fell down a flight of stairs. She told me I'd been given quite a time to the doctor who tried to set my leg. He'd just come from a party and was feeling no pain himself. We must have been quite the pair. I rolled and turned so violently that I broke three splints. He hadn't been too drunk to do his job, though. My leg healed in a normal length of time and never gave me a bit of trouble. I never told my mama what really happened, just in case she happened to hear something through the grapevine. I wrote and said that I'd sprained my ankle.
Bricktop, raised in a lion's den, when my nightly occupation is stealing other women's men.
Ada Bricktop Smith, she was a singer and dancer with the Patricia Orchestra, and another one is Jelly Roll Morton. He's probably the most famous guy who played there.
Jelly Roll Morton played the piano for me.
He used to bill himself as the originator of jazz. Both of their descriptions of the Patricia in Vancouver at the time was that, yeah, the audiences didn't really get it.
James Dandifer is a Vancouver-based composer and jazz clarinetist.
What? I'm from here. I've been playing Jelly Roll Morton's music, and I didn't know that he lived in Vancouver and that he worked at Pat's Pub, which is, you know, obviously still standing.
There was this idea, I guess, like a slippery slope kind of tendency in terms of morality, where you starts out with going into a place for, you know, drinking a little beverage, and then music comes on, and then especially with like this crazy jazz music, it's like becomes a little bit sexual maybe.
Jazz originally was jazz, J-A-S-S, which was slang for sex. That kind of keys you into what this music meant at the time. It was really passionate, exciting, and sexy.
It was the leading edge of music at the time, and people responded to it in the same way that people responded to rock and punk now. And it had its fans, and it had its people who didn't like it.
Ain't nobody dead. Somebody must be dead drunk. Don't tell me, I think it's a funeral. Say, look here, people, I do hear a funeral. People hear that trombone phone.
The greatest crash in the history of the New York Stock Exchange and market prices.
Provide health care for every man, woman, and child.
How far would you go with that? How far would you extend that?
Just watch it.
No, I've got cancer in my lungs.
Meat pepper, I put it on my plate.
Set on fire in downtown Vancouver, some windows broken in office buildings. Riot police have been deployed trying to control.
A century later, Vancouver has hardened. The roads are all paved now, and the structures lining them are formed from rebar and concrete. The neighborhood around the hotel has descended into unyielding poverty, while the bourgeoisie sit poised in trendy shops around its perimeter. The Patricia Hotel continues to serve underfunded travelers, and in the evening showcases local performers in the same room where Jelly Roll and Ada shook the walls. For the past decade, East Vancouver has hosted an inspired musical moment, which prowled through the venues on Hastings Street. Shearing sonics and daring performances are on offer, as young musicians expressed themselves and grasped for things out of reach. Their vibrations often left to mingle with those of Ada and Jelly Roll in the brick walls of Pat's Pub. Ryan Dick is a local record label owner and musician.
I don't know if Pat's is really in an entertainment district anymore. I mean, closer to Gastown, I've definitely noticed there's a lot more clubs and a lot more, like, normal people coming in from the suburbs to go, you know, do whatever normal people do on a Friday night, which is kind of nice because you don't have to deal with suburbanites for the most part.
Adrian Burris is a musician based in Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely one of the venues that was plugged into what was happening in the music scene. Like, it was a safe place, it was fun, it was, you know, easy to get a show there. There was always shows happening.
Vancouver at that point was well known for, like, cutesy indie pop stuff, and then all these bands started that were making pretty noisy punk music, which, so it was pretty exciting. It was really fun.
I definitely wanted in, and I definitely wanted to be part of what I thought was really progressive and interesting music.
Music Waste is a local music festival, and we try to focus on new artists every year. Yeah, Pat's has always been really supportive of Music Waste. They always are happy to give us the days, and there's been some pretty fun shows there.
I've never really felt unsafe in the Hastings area. You know, I've been attacked in Surrey, but not on Hastings. People look out for each other down here, and they care about each other, and yeah.
Richard Peterson and Deborah Adams stayed in the Patricia Hotel in the summer of 2014.
We arrived in Vancouver, a warm July afternoon. I had booked a room at the Patricia Hotel. The area where the hotel stands is one of the most infamous in Vancouver. Everyone knows that East Hastings is a place you will die instantly. A hotel on Hastings is one where the doors won't lock, the faucets will drip, and the door to the bathroom will be lightweight with a minimum 2-inch gap at the bottom. An adventure. Deborah wasn't so sure. Her tropical vacation a few months earlier had been loaded. Love and the idea of forever was on my mind. The place was going to be perfect, and it wasn't. Something didn't feel right. It was the turning point. The Patricia has a great location. Eat some baozi from Chinatown, or the most trendy burger at that upstairs place down Main. The hotel is old. It's great. Instantly transported to my grandmother's house. The counter guy was efficient and so very concerned with who came first. We came first. He reached across the counter and hit the elevator button for us. How pleasant, some real old-timey service. All food and beer with friends that evening. Things were chatty and enjoyable. Deborah mentioned the thing. It was our big argument before we left China. I was a little drunk and said something that could have been sexy, but ended up not so. I could see she wanted to tell the story. I was slightly opposed. When I returned from the bathroom, the secret had been kept, and for the rest of my trip, I was swamped by questions unanswered. Deborah was tired, but I had decided long ago that I would go to a concert that evening. I was racked with guilt and trying to make up for the approved activity for that evening. Offering to go back with her and then come back, though, it was clear I didn't want to. I believe the words were, "You're acting like a douche." I was. She was fine. I returned to the hotel at 2 a.m. and joined a sleeping Deborah in the soft bed. A couple days later, my friends were invited to our room in the early morning in order to stage a walking adventure through town. We were four now, and the room tightened accordingly. Hello, a woman yelled profanity into the void. A bus pushed into a lane. My friends commented on the strange bathroom layout. Deborah remarked how she could take a dump and put her feet up on the bed at the same time. On our way to the lobby, my buddy and I bolted down the stairs. Century-old floorboards thundered. Deborah and Larry took the elevator. After a day of fun in the sun, Deborah was a little tired of hanging with people she didn't really know and wanted alone time. A decision to flee was made as the sun slipped away. No guilt tonight. A cab ride got us back to the open arms of Pat's Pub in the last hours of Jazz Fest. Gentle music flowed out of the fire exit where we smoked frequently, a behavior seemingly out of fashion around most of Vancouver. The neighborhood around the Patricia Hotel isn't particularly fashionable, however. Our smokes were in high demand. Deborah was flying out the next day, but I was staying behind, leaving the Patricia for my friend's couch. Deborah and I said a goodbye that lingered, one of our last. My buddy picked us up at the hotel and drove us to Waterfront Station for a last-minute stroll before the airport. On the way to my friend's place, we drove past the Patricia. It may just be where all roads in Vancouver lead, the kidney of the city. It was sunny.
Most recently, the Patricia Hotel has reclaimed its musical roots and established itself as one of Vancouver's premium jazz venues. Several days a week, local performers take charge of the stage and aspire to have their tones connect with listeners.
As a jazz musician in Vancouver, knowing that one of the geniuses of jazz music played there, that really affects the feel of the place. The first time I walked through those doors, I just felt this connection to the past. I felt this sort of, I was just sort of awestruck. Like, this is where it happened, you know. And so I know as a performer, I feel there's a certain energy there that that comes from knowing what the past was.
James Dandifer continues to perform in Vancouver and can be reached at jamesdandifer.com. Adrian Burris performs as Adrian Teacher with his latest group, The Subs. Ryan Dick continues to support essential local talent with his record label, Hockey Dad Records. Lonnie Russworm's book, Vancouver Was Awesome, can be found at your local bookstore and library. And James Johnstone hosts walking tours of historic Vancouver neighborhoods and can be reached at historywalksinvancouver.blogspot.ca. Produced with the support and assistance of CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Thank you. to you.
This year's fund drive is over, but the link to donate is still live at cgsf.ca/donate. If you missed supporting our campaign in real time, it's not too late. Donate now, and thank you.
sleeping in moss, light cast against the sky. Clouds are soft covers, aggressively soft as a safe word. The wind across, illuminated on the mountaintop, Mochayal. Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, weeks done backwards. While spinning in tongues, weed fog, a compact haze, its own maze, its own mass, a central place of worship for the sketchy, sketchy city. Dismissing our own realities. Yes, I'm running to clean.
Appreciate your generosity. Each year for a week, we host Fundrive, our annual fundraising campaign that boosts our budget and supports independent radio. Thank you for your support.